Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Amen. God is good tonight. God bless you. You may be seated. So wonderful to be together, as I mentioned. Amen. Wonderful to hear the good word of the Lord, and the shocks have been God's blessing to us this past day and a half so far, and I believe that God's going to use them again tonight in a very special way for our sakes. Amen. How many of you appreciate the quality of the Word of God that we've been hearing? Amen. Amen. I want to just quickly mention before we turn this portion of the evening over to them, a couple of things. First of all, tonight the hotel staff wants us out of this room by 10 o'clock. So I know a lot of folks lingered and fellowshipped and so on. So you can do that in your room or out in the lobby. They might ask us tomorrow night to come back in this room if you did it out in the lobby. But I think some people want to go home and get off work. So anyway, if we could accommodate that. So Brother Stubb, you can go right up to 10 o'clock.
Right to 10 o'clock.
Yeah, right up. You go a little over your line. Amen. But tomorrow morning, we're going to shorten the devotion because of the banquet. We also have a time constraint of 12:30, so we're going to do our district dates kind of in that time slot. So if you are planning on laying out of prayer and devotions tomorrow, don't do that for sure. Amen. Really, you needed that more than you need the dates. But anyway, be here so we can discuss. Just quickly and hand out the dates so you'll be informed of what's happening. Amen. Brother and Sister Shock, what a pleasure to have you with us tonight. And as you were mentioning about speaking and, you know, getting correction on your vocabulary, my wife was reminding me that she's always after me and others in the church because I say pleasure, treasure. What's the other word?
Measure.
And they say I say it wrong. Well, I don't. No, I mean, they think I do. What am I supposed to say?
Treasure.
Treasure. And I say treasure. I mean, that's splitting hairs.
Well, not that particular.
Amen. So good to have you both with us. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you. What a privilege it is to be with you, to be with you all. We've enjoyed it. Thank you for being nice people to minister to. That helps. That really helps. How many of you like ministering to people that are not nice? Right. But it is good to be here. Good to see the Reynolds, Brother and Sister Reynolds. Give them honor. Great to have them in this time. And the worship, the ends. I guess I'll put Brother Ends on that list too, of preachers that I don't like. For those of you that are just getting here, I have a problem with preachers who can sing also, because it gives them an unfair advantage. Those of us that cannot sing, if we have a message that's not going good, we have to just hang in there and preach. They can start singing their way out of it. And that's an unfair advantage. How many of you were not here last night? Did you raise your hand? You were not here last night? Okay. How many of you were not here today? Not here today? All right. We have people that are continuing to join with us. We've been teaching a series on the tree, and we dealt with the roots last night, which is our God connection, prayer, and the Word. Today we dealt with the trunk, which is our family, our marriage. And so let's take a moment here and get a little bit of feedback. Did anything connect today when we were talking about the family that you think, hey, I might be able to do something with this? Anything?
Lots of stuff.
Yeah. All right? Yes, sir.
Since Shock may have felt like she was going off a bit when she really started to come down on talking about our family, how important they are. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Very, very good. It starts in the home. I mean, it starts in the home. Yes.
Homekeeper instead of homemaker.
Homekeeper instead of homemaker. I tell you, it is amazing what all that Bible does have in it. If we just slow down long enough and read it and study it, for sure. And that's a big difference. Homemaker and keeper.
I think it's running it.
Yes, in the back.
Negative 10 decibel. There's a setting inside the mic itself.
I'm sorry, a little louder.
The Mary method for parenting.
The Mary method for parenting.
I can check after.
Very, very good. Good. Go ahead.
I just want to say that in 2019, we are making adjustments to our schedule. I won't be traveling with him, hardly any, hopefully. Because we are putting a lot of this into publication, into small group study form, so it can be taught in homes and in churches and these kind of things. So just want to let you know, and we're not going to, like, we're dumping a whole lot of stuff in this presentation. We're going to be taking it subject by subject and making it. I feel like God has, we both feel like that is the direction God is leading for this next step. So please be in prayer for us as we do that, and then we'll be making, you know, it public whenever it's available.
Absolutely. We have to, there has to be a home revolution in the Apostolic Church. There has to be a home revolution in the Apostolic Church. The void in the home is causing a tsunami in the church. And you're not ever going to be able to pastor and lead to a level that is going to effectively replace the heads of households in your church. So we have to have this. I'll deal a little bit with that maybe a little later on tonight. But we're dealing with things in the church, and our time is getting eaten up with things that should be handled in the home. And if the homes were in divine order, a lot of these things wouldn't even be coming to the church. So we've got to have a home revolution. I saw one more hand. Did I right here?
I think I appreciate the transparency this morning. The fact that you were meeting us where the rubber meets the road. Not one of us sitting here to live a perfect life. And for you to say that it's not too late, it's a whole message. Some of us have messed up really bad, and God's filled in those gaps.
Right, absolutely.
But it's not too late.
Absolutely. No, I've been telling a lot of people about this business about slowing down and listening enough to hear the real issues with your kids and all. And I've said this: don't get in your late 50s like me, having to play catch up. You know, and the reality is I'm 58 years old now, and I've been playing catch up for the last few years, because it's only been in the last couple of years that I've realized what all I missed. And what all I thought I had my finger on that I didn't have my finger on. And so it's, you don't want, you know, and I know there's people here that's in their 60s and 70s or whatever. Well, if you can finish strong, I mean, if we're still breathing, we can finish strong. And that's the key thing. Okay, let's get on up with this tree. The branches will be taught in one session tonight and one session tomorrow. This is a two-part teaching. We will not have a group workshop at the end. At the end of tomorrow, we will give you handouts you'll take with you, because this is a personal thing that you do, okay? All right, you got it.
All right. The branches of the tree spring from the trunk of the tree, which springs from the roots. The branches are the main areas that are the outflow of our life. Our ministries, our careers and jobs, our private study, our relationships, our hobbies, our investment in people, the branches are our time. What is done with the time allotted to us reflects directly on what feeds our root system. And you can tell this by people who fit God into their day or plan their day around God. That's the difference. And many times we as Christians are guilty of having a to-do list longer than the hours of the day. So we try to fit God into that list instead of planning that list around God. We say, oh, well, I plan my list around God. but we plan our list around working for God, doing things that we would like to do rather than what He's told us to do. So that's kind of what we're talking about here at this first session. If your branches really stem from the root system, think of this now. If your prayer and your work, your God connection, every day, every morning, and throughout the day, if that is really your root system, it comes up through your home and then goes into the other areas. Okay? So if it comes up from a root system of God connection, then you are doing what He tells you to do rather than asking Him to bless what you tell Him you're going to do. There's a big difference. Big, huge difference. So the challenge of the branches is prioritizing all of the different demands of life. And I think that that is a huge tool of the enemy in 2018, is throwing so much at us as soldiers in the kingdom army, throwing so much at us that we think that we can't get it all done. And the truth of the matter is we can if our list springs from the root system. Okay, so this is biblical. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And if you've heard Brother Raymond Woodward preach on time, you know about the Greek words for time. But let's kind of go into that for a second here. First of all, we find out that time management is biblical. How many of you love time management study and courses and lists, and you live your life by that? Raise your hands. It should be about half of you. Raise your hands. Be honest. There are some people in here that are not being honest. See, I do real colors, and I know how many in a room. I've got the percentages, and it should be about 50% of you that say, I really need a list in order to make me happy every day. Some of you weren't honest. You thought you were going to pawn it off. Oh, I love people more than I love my list. Wrong. So, Ephesians 5, 15 through 17, the key word there is redeeming. If you've heard Brother White Raymond Woodward, you know he talks about exegorezo Redeeming is exegorezo, which means to buy up, to ransom, to rescue from loss. So if we're going to redeem the time, we are going to rescue it from loss, okay? Who is stealing it? The enemy. And so what is he using to steal it? Good things. He's smart. So, now let's get to the time thing. There are two words in the New Testament for time, chronos and kairos. Chronos is chronological time. Years past. That's chronos. But right now is a moment in time. That's kairos. Okay. Redeem the time. Buy back the time. The word for time there is kairos. So don't buy back seasons. Buy back moments. In other words, be very intentional about the moments of our day, the moments of our life. And that boils down to choices. And choices boil down to root system and what we're feeding our root system with. So, redeeming the time actively involves actively planning the minutes of your days in order to rescue them from being lost, from accomplishing the purpose to which you have been called. This is huge. Redeeming the time or buying back those moments is a commandment. It's not a suggestion. Buying back those moments is the will of God for your life. He was talking, I believe it was this morning, about when you got up on, be careful about the books you read, you know, make sure. And I got to thinking, how long it takes you to read a book. Some takes this long, some takes this long, whatever it is. Those are moments you don't get back. And if you have read and put something in your system that is just not good, and then you have to take all the time to get it out of your system, that's why be very careful about the books you read. These are huge chunks of time that the enemy is taking from what God wants you to be using it for, which may be another book. So it should spring from the root system. You're saying you're getting nitpicky. Well, yeah, maybe I am. Maybe I am getting nitpicky. I mean, I am having a birthday here coming up. It's got me kind of freaked out, you know? And I'm like, I don't have as much time left as I've lived. What am I, how am I going to spend my time? How am I going to plan out the rest of my days? I've got to be very, very intentional because I've got a long list of stuff that I feel the Lord has put on my heart to do. And if I don't get it done, I'm going to have to answer to Him for it. And He's going to say, well, you could have done it if you wouldn't have done this. Or, you see what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
All right. So let's move along. Your root system determines whether you live the kingdom life or a carnal life. I saw this next picture on the door of a little boy's room in the Philippines. And I took it and I blew it up. And I have this on a canvas inside my office. I have an armoire for an office. Everybody else in my family got offices, but I got an armoire. That's okay. I'm happy to be in
here. Kendra didn't get an office, and Roxy didn't get an office, and
Roxy
Asia
is the dog, and Deja is the granddaughter. I got a nice armoire. Happy with my armoire. And it has this sign in here, time belongs to God. That little Filipino boy drew that and colored it and thumbtacked it up on his door. I wonder if he knew what he was saying. Time belongs to God. And we have heard the parable of the talents extrapolated out, and we have heard it used to mean all different kinds of things. It means money, it means talent, it means this. What if it means time, too? And what if He's given you 5 measures of time, and me 2 measures of time, and you 1 measure of time, and what if you go bury yours? And what if I go and just kind of, time belongs to God. When we get to judgment, we are going to have to account for our time. With that being said, all of the good things that are coming at us to distract us are coming many times in the form of ministry. So here are some statements that I think we all need to consider about what we're doing in ministry. We must not confuse the command to love with the disease to please. I'm just letting you think on that a little bit. All of these leeches that call you and that text you and that take up your time answering these crazy things or listening to this crazy stuff. Yeah, we're going to love everybody, but we are not going to please everybody. Jesus didn't, you're not, I'm not. Don't try. Give them the word. If they reject you, if they leave the church, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the word of God. Just don't take it personal. Move on. Move on from that. We spend so much time trying to make people happy and make them understand. No, it's the word. Here it is. I love you so much. Well, I don't understand. Well, I'm not going any further because I'll get in trouble. Seek instruction before direction. Don't get up in the morning and tell God, this is all what I'm doing today. Please bless it. Please help it go well. No, ask Him to make your list. This is big. And it's hard for control freaks to do. It's hard for planners to do. It's hard for me to do. It's hard for Him. It's even harder for Him to do. Because of His nature. He's a list maker. We must seek instruction before direction. And the one who obeys God's instruction for today will develop a keen awareness of his direction for tomorrow. It doesn't have to be a teeth-pulling chore every morning, because when you let your root system feed your choices of what you're doing, then what happens is we begin to understand, this is the direction he wants me to go. This is what he wants me to do. And pretty soon it becomes second nature to us. And then he alerts us and he gets our attention when something else tries to creep in. A person who lives with the stress of an overwhelmed schedule will often ache with the sadness of an underwhelmed soul. If you don't have time, then your soul is probably underwhelmed. A person who lives with the stress of an overwhelmed schedule will often ache with the sadness of an underwhelmed soul. If God would have thought that we needed to do all we think we needed to do in a day, he would have given us more hours. Something better go. If your schedule is overwhelmed, something better go. This is something you might want to write down right here. This next part's huge. Every small choice you make determines the schedule you keep. Every small choice, whether you choose to get groceries at 5 different places in town, or you choose to get them at 1 place in town, determines the schedule you keep. Men, however, if you just fly by the seat of your pants and somehow get her all done, that's fine. But every small choice you make determines the schedule you keep. And the schedule you keep determines the life you live. And here's the clincher. The life you live determines how you spend your soul. So every small choice feeds into how you spend your soul. God controls time. We either invest what he gives us or we waste what he gives us.
All right, we will never have enough time to do what we shouldn't be doing in the first place. We'll never have enough time to do what we shouldn't be doing in the first place. Our not to-do list is as important as our to-do list. We have to be focused. Remember, the key is Acts 6 and 4, right? How many bivocational senior pastors do we have in here? Bivocational, would you raise your hand? All right, okay. Everybody has got to get serious about time. Bivocational pastors really have to get serious about time. And let's take a look at this. Principle of values. Principle of values, because values determine culture. That's key. Values determine culture. Culture in our personal lives, culture in our families, culture in our churches. That's the critical thing. And of course, we're trying to establish a Jesus culture, an apostolic culture in our lives. But what we value will determine culture. Here's what we must do. We must quit looking at everybody else and thinking, you know, if I had that, if I had more money, if I had that, then if I was pastoring them, if I had those people in my church, if this, if that, if we could do this, if we could live like them, if they don't have an excuse, but we do have an excuse. We have to bury that thinking. We have to bury it. Just like when I was talking about Brother Trapani telling me that it's not all women. I needed to become a melanologist, like I said today. We've got to zero in on our lives, our marriages, our families, our calling, our church, our community, our house. We've got to bring it in. And we've got to believe that, God knows what we need and will help us to be fulfilled. Was it, who said enjoy the journey? Was it Brother Dylan? Yes, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that in a minute, but that was such a key thing. Values determine culture. Now, what we must do is we must focus on apostolic values to create an apostolic culture. There's a lot of things that we hear in the church world that you need to let it just go in one ear and out the other. We only lock in on apostolic values. So we're narrowing things down. Now, know this, that if you have vision, it will be impossible to accomplish everything you see. Now, people that don't have a vision, I guess, it whatever. But people that have a vision, it's like you have a vision. Well, what happens when you start walking toward that vision? It just, you would have to stop your vision and refuse anything else. And then, okay, now we can celebrate. We got it. No, vision increases when you are a person of vision. If you're a person of vision, you will die with your inbox full. You won't catch up. This is not about trying to catch up. This is about journeying in a healthy, fulfilled, anointed manner. This is what it is. So here are some values that I would like you just to consider. To focus on. Obviously, God connection, we've already worked on that one in a major way. Obviously, the new birth message. That is a value that we must stay focused on. Being Spirit-led. Spirit-filled and Spirit-led. She told two stories. Well, that one story she told last night about Brother Johnson going up to that lady's house. He was Spirit-led. He had seen a dream, and he had acted on that dream. Apostolic leaders, we must operate in the gifts of the Spirit. We have to. There's no way. These are the things that God has put in the church for us. If we're leading an apostolic church, this is the reason why God connection is so important. Because if we're not connected to God and we're not being led by the Spirit, then we're going to get off into things that are going to eat our time totally up. I speak from experience. I have wasted years of my life in leadership because I knew what needed to be done. And the reality was I did not know what needed to be done. And now I look back and I realize that I literally wasted years in leadership as a pastor doing what I thought. I mean, the hours and hours and hours that I spent preparing to preach, and I believe we should be prepared. But I look back on it now, and I think I was trying to please myself a lot of times more than God. And so it's these things that we have to look seriously at. It's that new birth message. It's being Spirit-led. Yeah, jump in.
I want to just jump in here a second, and then you can... I'm going to give you the thought and let you take it. Because it's kind of a rabbit trail here, and I don't want to speak out of turn. But every church is not called to be the same. Revelation talks about the seven churches, you know, in Revelation. They all had faults, but they were all called to different things, you know? And so many, and especially now that we're traveling, we're seeing this. A lot of people think, well, this is what we're supposed to do as the church. It's like, and it's not really their gifting, and it's not their church's personality, and for example, let me just say this. We all have elements that need to be common to all churches, okay? Worship, the apostolic doctrine, all those kinds of stuff. All have elements that need to be common. But I believe that there, and I've seen them, there are some churches that are called to be home Bible study churches. Like, that's who they are. Everybody in the church, the pastoral team. Then you have some churches that are just prayer churches. And they focus huge on prayer, and they've got intercession teams, and they've got, okay, it's like God has kind of reached down and given them a special dispensation in this area. Now, yeah, help me here, because I don't want to get out of here too far, okay?
Are you through?
Well, yeah, I was going to say,
well, there's pieces of all of that you have to have in an apostolic culture. You have to have Bible study teaching.
Exactly.
You have to have prayer.
Yes.
You have to have these things, but the gifting of the leader and the growth of the people might establish where one church is focused 60% on this, 40 on this, and one might be 50, 30. You see what I'm saying? It's not like we can all be the same because we don't all have the same gifting. But the key thing with that is we got to realize that this is not about running a certain number. We've got to get over this to where we think that success is a number. I mean, God, Brother Andrew, you're leading North American missions. I mean, God give us North American missionaries that will look you in the eye and confidently saying, we're running four and we're storming toward five. We're running 15 and not,
well, we're running 15 and maybe.
He said, no, we're running 15. Thank God, God's given us 15 souls and we're storming toward 16. We have to get this kind of an understanding. And so when we focus on these kind of values, one value that we'd better bring back to the front is sharing Jesus. Just pure having God conversations with people off of the campus. Let me tell you what I have realized since I got taken off of quite a large campus, running quite a major organization and thrown into airplanes and airports and strangers and everything. You know what the revelation was that I received? I was sorry at sharing Jesus. I mean, going from a point with a stranger, and I know you can't with everybody. Everybody's not open. But there's people out here that definitely are open, and we've got to value. How are we going to build churches if we don't value the ability of people to share Jesus? And so it's some of these values that are so very important: holy living inwardly and outwardly. You mentioned, Sister Lemke, you mentioned 1 Thessalonians 5:23, spirit, soul, and body. The revelation of 1 Thessalonians 5:23 in several areas of our life would absolutely change our lives. Here's the major one when we're building churches. Until there is a spirit work in their life, and until the spirit is doing a work in their life that is affecting their soul or their emotion, where they're buying into it, leave their body alone. Many people flip that and quote it wrong. Body, soul, and spirit. It's not body, soul, and spirit. It's spirit, soul, and body. And I'm telling you, if we could see through the eyes of the spirit, the bloodstains on carpets of our churches where we've aborted babies, it would get our attention. It's spirit, soul, and body. Us giving people time for the spirit to work in their lives is not compromise. It's not compromise. It's process. We're talking about time, aren't we? Yeah, these things are very important in time. Jesus did many miracles. But he never laid his hand on a baby and turned it into an adult. Never. He never did that. And we're not going to do this with people. There are some people that, yes, they come right along and they gain revelation more, you know, quickly. But we can't put everybody in one box. I'm talking about time. I'm talking about our frustration. I'm talking about how we can be frustrated in ministry. A couple years ago, at the end of the year, we did Kendra's good friend got married, and I was a part of that wedding. And the venue where she had her wedding was a sawmill that had been closed down. It was now a museum. It was cool. I mean, it's one of the coolest weddings I've ever been a part of. But when they shut the sawmill down, they left all of the wood in process, just where it was. So you can just walk through, you can see trees, and then, you know, stage one, stage, you know, all the way through, you can just look at that. And when I saw that, it hit me. This is the church. This is the church. We're getting people in process. Whenever God comes, that's up to Him, and He can judge where they are in the process. And so when we're talking about time and time management, this makes a major difference. Now, one thing that will really help us with time and what we need to value is speaking life. Speaking life. There's a lot of times we get hung in time issues because we've spoken death and now we have to clean it up. And so speaking life is very important. There are some people that are afraid of confrontation. I've never been afraid of confrontation. It's not that I don't just look for you know, fights, but I just hadn't been afraid of one. That, you know, that just was kind of my makeup. Well, there were things that I would take on. Then I would go pray. We're talking about time, redeeming time, right? Then I'd go pray, and I'd get convicted. And then I'd have to go back and apologize to the people. Well, I finally woke up and realized, quit taking everything on. They're not open to you. You're not changing them anyway. And then you got to go get convicted, and then you got to go back and apologize. You're burning up time. You know, in leadership, one of the greatest personal revelations in leadership that I've ever gained is this. There are people I listen to, and there are people I appear to be listening to. You know, there are some people that I hear, you know, I would hear people in a church, you know, and I just kind of look at them and I'd walk off, and mentally I would just hear a flushing sound. You know, I'm going to pick a fight with them. I mean, is this are we going to pick a fight with everybody that says everything that we don't agree with? That's all we're going to be doing. Now, I hope nobody was offended by that, but what you might want to do is try before you get too mad. And don't tell people that, you know, I'm really not listening to you. You know, Melanie led a major change in the church. The whole Sunday school division, she changed it over. Well, we had some people that were not happy about that. And there was one lady that had taught Sunday school for 25 years. And she set an appointment with me, and I knew when she came in that it was not going to be to tell me how great I was and how much she loved the changes that we had made. But I can honestly tell you, I attentively listened to that woman because she walked in there with 25 years of skin in the game. There are people, now there were other people griping about it, that I appeared to be listening to. I wasn't listening to them. You know why I wasn't listening? listening to them? They wasn't teaching in there anyway. They wasn't lifting their finger. Who did that? That was good. That was really good. There it is, folks. You heard it right here. Can you do it one more time? Because I know Brother Dylan needs this. I'm talking, is it okay if I go and you're still flushing?
I enjoy it.
Values. Values. We're talking about time, right? We're talking about time where we live in pastoring. Correct? All right, here's a value that you had better embrace, and that's the value of planning. Yes. You better plan.
That's not any of this. This is awesome stuff.
Well, we'll have to get this. Okay, all right. You have a yearly calendar that your major events. You know, we're at the end of 2018. Your major church-wide events. You should already know where they're going to be in 2019 by this time. Well,
you should have gotten them in prayer, please. In prayer. Not because it's a good idea. In prayer. God needs to give you these ideas in prayer.
Where?
Prayer, I said.
How do we get those?
In prayer.
Prayer. Prayer. So take your calendar and go hide away for 3 days and pray and fast. And it'd probably be amazing what what 2019 would be. We've got to plan. There has to be yearly calendar planning. There has to be personal planning. Now, I've heard people say, you know what? I'm just not into all that. That's okay. That's all right. I mean, if you want to live your life scattered, go ahead. But we bring a lot of pressure on ourselves by not planning in advance. So planning. Now, I bring it down to each day. One of the greatest planning things that you can do is every day know the top three things that are the most important for you to get done. My personal practice is I write them down on a card. Now, I have all kinds of lists on my phone. But I have found when I go to my phone to look at a list or something, well, I'll end up on Twitter. I'll end up, you know, Instagram. I'll hit, okay. So to help me in my ADD personality, I have to just do this to where I can keep myself on track. Just try that. Listing the top three things that you need to get done. Just three, not 10. Just the top three and see how that works for you. I wanna ask a question here. I wanna ask a question. Do we really think it's God's will for us every night to lay down feeling like a failure that day? Do we really? How long has it been since you've laid down at night and thought, Good day. Yeah. Good day. If it's been a while, something's wrong. Well, I didn't get everything. If you have vision, you can't get everything done. Right. So we have to understand these things. Now, I know that there are some people that are my age or even a little bit older, so some of you will remember this. How many of you, when you were little, you had those Sizzler cars? You know, the little Sizzler race cars that you build the track and you'd hook them up to this little thing and it would charge them up and then you just take them off and set them on the track and they just run. Did anybody ever have? Okay. Sometimes it would run off the track, right? And it would get hung up and it was just, but it wasn't going anywhere. That's exactly what can happen to us. And we're wearing ourselves out, but we're getting nowhere. Wearing ourselves out and getting nowhere. I know that, you know, you're not going to get tongues interpretation out of this teaching tonight. But I can tell you it's a word from God. And I can tell you that we have to get practical. One reason why there are a lot of apostolic people that are not moving forward in leadership is because they're not bold enough to be practical. And teaching like this doesn't sound spiritual. I got so frustrated trying to teach leadership sometime that I actually told Pastor Mangan one day, I said, is it okay before I start a leadership teaching if I just say Ishanda Bahaya? or something? Act like I'm talking in tongues. Maybe people will, you know, pay attention if I'm acting like I'm talking in tongues. I mean, we got it. We've got to get some of these principles and values into our life. So planning. How about this one? Clarity. Clarity. I mean, clarity. People should not have to take vertigo pills to follow us. Because we're making them dizzy. It's like, get in, thus saith God, honor me, respect me, follow me, you know? Follow me, follow me, follow me. Come on, now follow me, follow me. I can tell you that world changers will not follow us in circles. People that will follow you in circles will not change the world. They're good people and they're going to heaven, but they're not going to change the world. We have to have a plan. If we're leading, we have to lead with clarity. And I can tell you what is so incredibly important, and that is please, please, please have ministry descriptions for your leaders. Now let me drop the big bomb. Get a ministry description for yourself. Start there. Why don't you, as a couple, why don't you spend some time in prayer and write a ministry description for you leading the church? What you feel that God is telling you to do. Because if you can decide what you're supposed to be doing, then you can get your key leaders in and you can give them clarity and you can get something moving. How about placing people by God wiring? We talked about that. How people are wired. It's like what I said today about what that leader said. It doesn't matter how long that runway is, that pig ain't going to fly. Let's quit trying to make pigs fly. Don't call them pigs. But let's save time. Let's get people placed in their wiring and their gifting. Now here's the big one. Everybody please breathe in and breathe out. And just gonna think about this one for a while. But leading biblically will save you all kinds of time. It's called Matthew 18. It's 15 through 17. And a lot of leaders won't lead like this. If you get offended. See, leaders, the enemy is eating up our time because we are getting involved in a bunch of people's problems and we shouldn't even be in the problem. But when people start having problems, what do they first want to do? They want to drag the pastor, or many times it's the pastor's wife before the pastor. And this is another reason why we got pastor's wives that are going crazy, is because they're just getting pulled into everybody's little. And literally, you can't even get to a point to where you're able to lead, because it's just people and all this junk. So Matthew 18, 15 through 17 would clear so much up. It says that if Brother Enns, if he offends me, first of all, I've got a decision to make right here. Is it really that big of a deal? I mean, no, really. Is it really that big of a deal? You know, he may have just had a bad day. So if we can go on, then just go on. You know, but
But if it's something that like, no, it's a, you know, it is. It's just in my spirit. I can't get by it. And so I really need to talk to him about it. Now, a great thing is men, we don't carry everything home that aggravates us, and we don't get our spouse fired up about it. But even if we do talk to our spouse about it, for heaven's sake, don't let your kids hear it. Now, if your kids are like human kids, if you have human kids, they're going to want to hear the real issues, and they may even be up against your door listening and you don't know it. No, no, not that we would have ever raised a Kendra. But so now there is a deal that I'm going to go to Brother Enns on, and it says go how? I need to take, you know, I need to take some other of my friends with me, and we need to confront him. No, it says alone. Alone. The Greek word for alone is alone. It's alone. No, it's alone. You go alone. So I don't confront him in front of Sister Anne's. No, I pull him aside and I say, look, there's something that I just need to ask you about, you know, and not coming in like, hey, there's, you know, it's not all, no, calm down. Just chill down. Take a pill. Well, if you believe in that. Calm down. And I come, and so I talk to him about that, and he looks at me and says, Terry, no, I didn't even mean that. No, I wasn't even looking at you. You thought I was looking at you wrong. I was looking past you wrong. And so it's done. Or he says, yes. Yeah, that's how I feel. Okay, now we've got another decision to make. Is this going to affect the kingdom? We have to think beyond just what aggravates us. And so we have a decision to make. We're just going to agree to disagree, bury it, go on, no big deal. You're a man, I'm a man. We can have our own opinions. Love you, brother. And go on for the good of the church. Amen. Well, that's good. Well, no, it wasn't that. We talked about it. We can't work it out. And it is a deal. Now, so many things that eat up our time should not even be a deal.
Right.
But this is. So now we've got a decision. Then okay, let's agree on somebody that we both respect. And so we say we both respect Phil. And so the three of us talk. And if Phil looks at me and says, "You know what, Terry? He's right, man. And you're then I need to accept that." And it be a dead deal.
Right.
And me not go off running my mouth about him.
Right.
All right, now, if the three of us cannot work it out, now let's take it to the church. So then we would go to the district superintendent. But not, we wouldn't call him on something that I got a problem with him with. Yeah, can you imagine what could happen if we start teaching our kids this? And can you imagine what could happen if you start teaching this in your church and people knew that every time something went wrong, they were not supposed to call 1-800-PASTOR or 1-800-PASTOR's wife? It's just the Bible. I mean, don't let the Bible get in the way of your pastor. Please don't do that. Don't let that happen. Because that's bad news. I had a great friends on our staff that were staff pastors. Great friends, very close. They came to me and they said, "Pastor Terry, we need to set a meeting with you and so and so, because we're having problems with them in our ministry." And so I said, "Did the meeting not go well between y'all?" "Oh no, we can't. We didn't meet with them. We got to do that in your office." I said, "Oh no, you're not. No, you're not." I said, "I have pastored unbiblically so long that now I'm trying to pastor biblically.
So you got to go read Matthew, or refresh yourself on Matthew 18, 15 through 17 and talk with them. And I walked off. They thought I was kidding. They could not believe that I refused to set up that meeting. And about 2 weeks later, they came by me and they said, hey, we had that meeting with them and it went great. I said, fantastic. Everything's fine. Yeah, everything's fine. I said, okay, now let's talk about the rest of this. Now, there wasn't a risk of y'all getting in there in front of me and somebody getting mad, them getting upset and blurting out something that they would regret later. And then I'm up preaching and I'm trying to make eye contact with people because that's what decent, speakers do. And then I'm preaching about something months later, and I happen to look toward their side of the church, and I'm on to something, and now they're thinking, yeah. I mean, do we see the domino effect of not handling these things the way that the Bible says to handle it? Now, if you can survive that one, now let's really go for another piece of this. And that is, I was driving down the road with a preacher friend, a good preacher friend. I mean, like a good preacher friend of mine. We're driving down the road, and the subject comes up of a neighboring pastor near him that he doesn't like. And I knew, anybody, that a lot of people know they don't like each other. Because it's that, they're both breakthrough, I think, and they both have UPC license, but they don't like each other at all. They're in the same area. And so he was really letting the guy have it. Pretty good, and I'm driving. He's sitting in the passenger seat. So after he got through, I said, and what are you going to do about it? He didn't say anything. He said, what? I said, and what are you going to do about it? I said, your family knows you don't like him. His family knows that he doesn't like you. People in your church know that you don't like him. And people in his church know that he doesn't like you. People in the community know that you don't like each other. And this is bad for the kingdom. So what are you going to do about it? And so we drove a little bit and he said, well, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to call him, and I'm going to try to get this crazy thing, this crazy mess right. I said, that would be the will of God.
Right.
Now, they did. They're not going to lunch. They're not best friends, but at least they've landed the fighter plane. So the big question, I'm talking about time. I know, here it is, really. There's a lot at stake here. But here's where it really gets serious. I know that blood is thicker than water. And I know that good friendships can get very tight. That's no problem. But when blood gets thicker than right, and friendships get thicker than right, we got a problem.
That's right. That's right.
And family must be able to lovingly confront family. And good friends better lovingly confront good friends when we know that somebody is stepping out of line. So are you telling me that if somebody can become my good friend, then whatever they do, I have to agree with them under the umbrella of loyalty? I know it's deep. I understand that this is deep stuff. But listen, there have been times when people very close to me pulled me aside and said, Terry, you're wrong. Now you're going to have to think about this because you are wrong. I look back on it now. I thank God that I had people. They didn't air me out in front of everybody. They lovingly pulled me aside and said, you got to think about this because you are wrong. Did I like that at that moment? No, I didn't like that at that moment. But that did help me turn toward God and open up my heart to where God could speak to me. And instead of just them saying, well, you know, he's my good friend. We're buddies. So I'm standing by my buddy. I know we have to be careful, but we cannot let buddy get above right and kingdom. Just give it some thought. The Bible clearly says in Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And so by that scripture, it looks like to me that if we're not peaceful, we can't be holy.
Come on.
Good.
If I'm not peaceful, how can I even be holy if I'm not following peace? That does not mean that we cannot lovingly confront in the right manner, not making a big deal in front of people, not tearing people down publicly. Well, I'll tell you what, I just took him apart. That's not of God. Now, if somebody confronts you publicly, then I understand somebody stands up in your church and goes against you, then you can't ignore that. I got that. But let's treat people the way we would want people to treat us when we're wrong, or our spirit's wrong, or we're out of line. We're talking about time, because these kinds of things absolutely eat time up. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Plus, it's damaging for the kingdom. I'm going to quickly deal with one more. I'm going to end on this. I'll never get to positioning. It's late. It's Lord have mercy, it's 10 minutes till 4 in the morning. This is the principle of rest. You say, oh yeah, right, rest, sure. Yeah, rest. Oh yeah, well, Well, the truth is we need physical rest. God designed our bodies to need rest. I've told pastors before, you ought to just get the gut sometimes, stand up in your church on Sunday and say, look, unless somebody is taking their last breath next Thursday, do not call me. I'm wiped out, and I'm planning on staying the whole day either in bed or around the bed. We can never do that. We can never show that we're not Superman. Now, I'm not saying don't do that every Sunday. But we're making a lot of mistakes because we're worn slap out. And sometimes you just need to go to bed. However, you cannot sleep long enough to rest your soul. Now, you can sleep to rest your body, and you need to, and quit apologizing for it. Now, lazy people, they're, whatever. Somebody else have to help lazy people get to heaven. I'm not even capable of ministering to lazy people. But in this room, I'm not looking at a bunch of lazy people. All right? Isaiah 28:12 says, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. So we need more than physical rest. We need physical rest, but we also need soul rest. I'm almost through here tonight. I was preaching on rest at church one night at POA, and I heard that a man in the riser said, well, if he'd quit preaching, we'd go and get some. So the next time that I was talking about rest months and months later, I just said, and yes, Tommy Rogers, I know that you said that if I'd stop, you could go get some, but you can rest after I'm through them. But it's that soul rest. Matthew 11:28-29, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. So what is the key? Sleep and Holy Ghost. Sleep and Holy Ghost. We need to sleep, and we need the Spirit to do a work in our life. This is the first part. We're spending more time on the branches because this is where it gets real. This is where we either push forward or we're held back, and it has to do with how we manage our life. And we have to do it based on apostolic values. Could you close your eyes right now? Could we just talk to God? Can we talk to God a moment? We need His direction on these things. Lord Jesus, we come to You and we thank You for the power of Your Spirit. And God, we know that You want us. You want us to be fulfilled in ministry. And God, we know that the keys of being fulfilled in ministry, it's in Your Word. Help us, God, to be able to move past all of our automatic thinking of how it won't work in our life. And help us, God, to take a fresh look at Your Word and how Your Word wants to impact our lives and make us even more fulfilled and fruitful in Your kingdom. Now I'm praying, God, for personal revelation for every one of us. You know our situations. You know our physical abilities. You know our family structures. You know our churches, everything. Give us personal revelation to where we will be able to be more effective in the way that we do ministry. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes. Yes, sir.
When you were mentioning the three top things for the day, that includes the God connection.
Mm. No, God connection is God connection. That's, yeah, absolutely. One statement that a leader made, he said this. He said, I came to realize the way I was doing the work of God was destroying God's work in me. The way I was doing the work of God was destroying God's work in me. Let's not let that happen.
Let's stand together tonight. This is good stuff. How many know that we need it? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Again, let me remind you that 9:30 in the morning, let's be as prompt as possible so we can have a little time of prayer and then go right into our district planning part. We have to be out by 12:30. We want to give the shops lots of time to minister tomorrow, and so you be here. And also, you're visiting in fellowship, you need to be out of this room here in, well, half an hour. I also need the district board to meet up here. We're going to have a board meeting, so if you do stay and visit, if you could move towards the back and filter out in time for the hotel. Amen. Do you love the Lord tonight? Amen. Are you thankful for God ministering to us tonight? Amen. Brother Nickel, lift your voice and dismiss us tonight.
Pray, Lord, that You will just, Lord, help it not to just be words that we hear, but help it to stay with us, Lord, as we move from this place. In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you tonight.
Nikolai, how are you doing, bud?